We're reminded in Scripture of the Church of Jesus Christ, the great purpose of that church to go out into all the world and to preach the gospel of Christ to every creature. That is the purpose of the church. That is the purpose that we are to engage in, the sounding forth of the gospel of Christ to the world. And that is a purpose that we must never forget. And as we come to a new year, it is a purpose that should motivate us. It is a purpose that should be before us, one that we do not set aside like a New Year's resolution.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Hello and welcome to our program today. This is Let the Bible Speak, and I'm Andrew Fitton, delighted to have you with us for this first program of 2026. It is our prayer and desire here at Let the Bible Speak that you and your family would know the blessing of the Lord and His help and His strength during this new year. At the start of a new year, we often have New Year's resolutions. We often think that, well, we need to maybe exercise more. We need to lose weight. We need to do something to change our life, to change our lifestyle, to maybe simply try something that is new and to have a new experience. But we often think as well of the Word of God and having a text to focus on for the year. And the text that we are going to leave with you today in our sermon is found in the Gospel of John and chapter 1. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. What a great and glorious message that is. This is the message of the gospel. Those that preach the truth of Scripture declare, Behold the Lamb of God. Behold Christ. Behold the Savior. Behold the one who died for the sins of his people. Look upon the Lamb of God who died for sinners, which taketh away the sin of the world. Today, have you looked upon the Lamb of God? Are you trusting in the Lamb of God to wash away your sins, to give you that forgiveness? Are you desiring to live in light of what the Lamb of God has done for your soul? Oh, that this year you would consider living for Christ, living a holy life, living a Christ-centered life.
The turn of the year is yet another opportunity for us to assess our lives. Many will make New Year's resolutions, and perhaps you, on Wednesday past, made a New Year's resolution. Maybe that resolution is something that was upon your mind last year, and when the change came, you decided that you would change your ways, that something would be done, and you endeavor throughout this year to do that. Maybe you made a New Year's resolution, and as we come to the 5th of January, you have forgotten what that resolution is all about. That is often the case. We forget those resolutions that we make. We have good intentions, but yet, very often, they are set aside. We're reminded in Scripture of the Church of Jesus Christ, the great purpose of that church to go out into all the world and to preach the gospel of Christ to every creature. That is the purpose of the church. That is the purpose that we are to engage in, the sounding forth of the gospel of Christ to the world. And that is a purpose that we must never forget. It is a purpose that we must never set aside. And as we come to a new year, it is a purpose that should motivate us. It is a purpose that should be before us, one that we do not set aside like a New Year's resolution. We are to preach Christ. We are to proclaim Christ. We are to live for Christ. We are to go forth into the world with the gospel of Christ. And we're not to come to December tired and weary, having forgot the great purpose of going forth with the gospel sometime in July or March or even January. There is a glorious gospel that must be proclaimed, and we are not to turn away from that gospel. Let us assess Christianity today, and we could list denominations. We could list leaders who have moved away from the gospel of Christ. They are false shepherds, and the Word of God tells us such. Turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, and the verse in number 35. We see here the moving of the Savior. He went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. But in verse 36, we find that when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. The Savior had a compassion. His heart moved and yearned toward them. As he looked upon this multitude, he saw them as sheep. Sheep that were shepherdless. Sheep that had no one to care for them. Sheep without a shepherd. Well, there were many shepherds in Israel at that time. There were the Pharisees. There were those that preached and taught in the synagogues. There were many spiritual leaders, but Christ says, these individuals, this vast multitude, they had no shepherd. We can remember the words of Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 23. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. And the prophet here is speaking about the shepherds that have scattered the flock, the shepherds that have not fulfilled the responsibility that they have before God to lead, to guide, to direct, to preach the Word of God. That is set aside. And in other words, these individuals are not shepherds. They're frauds. They're false. They're not the shepherds of God. They're not those who preach the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have set it aside. And Jeremiah reminds us, in his days, speaking of the one who would be raised up, in these days Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Speaking of Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, the one to whom all preachers, all shepherds point to, the Lord our righteousness. And in Matthew 9, this is the Lord speaking about Israel. There's a scattering of the sheep. The sheep that the Lord loves and cares for, scattered. Think of the Savior's dealings with the hypocritical Pharisees and others who twisted and corrupted the Word of God. And the same is happening in our day and our generation. There is a corruption of truth, a twisting of the gospel, a setting aside of biblical doctrine for the ideas of men. And dear believer, you and I must discern these things. And unbeliever, don't let wicked men take away the truth of God from you, so that you are left with no truth to believe. For the truth of God only outlines the way of salvation for your soul. The book of Jude, I want you to turn to the book of Jude. It outlines what we have in the world today, and of course in Jude's day. Verse 3, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude is saying, there are those who have crept in unawares, who are twisting the gospel and changing the gospel. But you who know the truth are to contend for the faith. And Paul emphasized that in Acts chapter 20. He warned about those who would come in, those who were in the church, who would divide and take disciples away after them. And he warns those elders of Ephesus in Acts 20 to, as it were, contend for the faith, to stand firm against these things from those who would corrupt the gospel of truth. And dear believer, as we come into this new year, we need to reassess our understanding of the truth of God. Do we love the gospel? Do we believe the gospel? Is the gospel of Christ something that continually thrills our hearts and our souls? When we think of last year, did our love for the gospel wane? Did it grow cold? Did we come to the end of the year weary and tired? And the gospel of Christ and the joy that it ought to bring to our hearts, because of the coldness of our hearts, there was no joy. That ought not to be the case. We have the truth of God. We believe the Scriptures. We believe that the gospel of Christ is the only way of salvation, and we are to treasure that truth. In John chapter 1, we come to see the Savior's baptism and the testimony of John the Baptist concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And this brings us to consider something that is vital and something that is important in light of all the falseness and all the corruption that we see in so-called Christianity. It brings us to consider our own testimony of Christ. Who do we believe He is? Our own witness to the Savior, as to who He is and what He can do for sinners. This is what we see in verse 29, John doing. He draws attention to the Savior. He points to His redeeming work. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He bore witness to Christ. And this is what the apostle did in 1 John 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That you may know, that you may have that assurance, the apostle is saying, that the record is true, that there is a Savior and there is a Redeemer. Dear believer, we are to bear witness. The apostle was bearing witness for Christ. We are to do the same. We have life from the Son of God. We have redemption through His finished work. We are to testify of Him. When we think of ourselves, did we feel the Lord this past year? Do we have missed opportunities in service for Him? Was there sin that hindered your walk with Christ? O believer, that you would consider that sin, repent from that sin, and seek to truly follow Christ this year. John the Baptist was a herald of Christ. He declared the Savior, and the church is to be such a herald. We are to be heralds of the Savior. Oh, that in 2025 we would have that great cry upon our lips to the sinful world. Behold the Lamb of God. That is to be upon our lips. That is to be upon, as it were, the lips of this congregation as we seek to stand for Christ, as we desire to preach the gospel. What are we preaching? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And dear believers, you desire to live for Christ this year, as you desire to be a witness for Him. What is that all about? It's about crying out, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. As we think upon that text, what about this year? What about those activities you will be involved in? The work that you will do in the workplace, the education perhaps that you will be involved in. And as a Christian, you're found not as part of the world, but you're found in the world. Does your life, does your speech, will your actions cry out, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world? And that's our theme for today, our cry for 2025, behold the Lamb of God. I want you to see firstly that we must perceive Christ, the Lamb of God. We must perceive Christ, the Lamb of God. Notice verse 29 again, behold the Lamb of God. That word behold, what does it mean? It means to see. There's something important. There's something important to consider. Now, we might not necessarily use that word today. If you're driving down the road with somebody and somebody else pulls out or there's an incident, you're not really going to cry out, behold. You're probably going to shout or scream or something like that. But behold has that emphasis. There's something to consider, something to look at, something that you need to take your attention away from and focus upon. And John was crying out here, behold, take your attention away. Whatever it is you're doing, looking at, the attention needs to be placed upon Christ, upon the Lamb of God. See Him, look upon Him, behold Him, perceive Him. C.H. Spurgeon spoke of John as the Lord's servant. And he did not dare to know anything of his own unguided judgment. He knew this message. He knew that this was a message from God. And he said that he was sure that Christ was much greater than himself. He was revealed to John. And Spurgeon said, certain preachers tell their people anything they invent out of their wonderful brains. But the true servant of God has no business to put forth his own thoughts or opinions, but he must wait for a word from God. The message should have come straight from the Master. And John says that, behold the Lamb of God. It's a message from God. It's a message to the people. It's a message to us that we are to perceive Christ. The Lamb had come. The Messiah had come. And this must be perceived. We must understand Christ as to who He is. John says, the Lamb of God. And what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, we find here that John points to the one who is the Lamb of God. That's not literal. We know what a lamb is. John is not saying, here comes a sheep. But it's what is represented in that picture, the Lamb. Looking back to the Old Testament, there was the daily sacrifice. It was offered every morning and evening. There was a lamb which was a type of Christ, a lamb whose blood was shed for the sins of the people. A lamb whose blood was shed, yet there was no atonement because, as we see in the book of Hebrews, those priests stood continually making sacrifices. They did not rest. But when Christ made that sacrifice, he sat down. The work was completed. And this thought of being the Lamb of God points to the Paschal Lamb. We can think of that Lamb in Exodus chapter 14. The Lamb whose blood was sprinkled on the doorposts. And as the angel of death came into Egypt that night, it passed over the homes that had the blood. A great picture there of Christ and His gospel. A picture of Calvary. Oh, the Lamb in the Old Testament. Those sacrifices, it points to that great sacrifice. And Christ, who would be that Lamb that was slain. Christ, who would be the Lamb, the pure, spotless Lamb of God, was the one who would take away the sin of the world. This was His purpose. This was His mission. As we saw in Matthew 1, verse 21, "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins." Christ came into the world with the purpose of being the Lamb of God to take away sins. And as the Lamb of God, He takes away sin. He must be perceived for salvation. This great truth that the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world must be perceived for salvation. Why? Because there is no salvation any other way. We must perceive Christ as the only Lamb. We must perceive Christ as the only way of salvation. Today, do you believe that? Do you believe there is one way of salvation? Do you believe that there is a way to the forgiveness of sins only through Christ? How important that truth is. How exclusive our gospel is. Thinking again of the corruption of others and the twisting and changing of the Word of God, how many will say there's ways of salvation not through believing in Christ, not through repenting regarding our sins. There is one way of salvation. What do you think of Christ today? Do you see Him as the Lamb of God? Do you see Him as the only Savior? How sad it is, how grievous to see those in this world, and what do? They point others away from Christ, the Lamb of God. Instead of perceiving Christ and beholding Christ and seeing who Christ is, they turn round and say, "You don't need Christ. You don't need a relationship with Him. You don't need your sins forgiven by Him. We're all going to heaven. There's peace anyway. There's no need to listen to those preachers that speak of sin and speak of wickedness and speak of your need to repent and turn to Christ." How sad that is. John speaks here and he says who this Savior is. He's the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He gives pardon for those who repent and believe the gospel, whatever country, nation, language they come from. There is salvation. There is redemption. He is the Lamb of God who took upon Himself the sins of His people. For you.
Spurgeon brings us today to Joshua chapter 5 and verse 12. Israel's weary wanderings were all over, and the promised rest was attained. No more moving tents, fiery serpents, fierce Amalekites, and howling wildernesses. They came to the land which flowed with milk and honey, and they ate the old corn of the land. Perhaps this year, beloved Christian reader, this may be thy case or mine. Joyful is the prospect, and if faith be an active exercise, it will yield unalloyed delight. To be with Jesus in the rest which remaineth for the people of God is a cheering hope indeed, and to expect this glory so soon is a double bliss. Unbelief shudders at the Jordan which still rolls between us and the goodly land, but let us rest assured that we have already experienced more ills than death at its worst can cause us. Let us banish every fearful thought, and rejoice with exceeding great joy in the prospect that this year we shall begin to be forever with the Lord. A part of the host will this year tarry on earth to do service for their Lord. If this should fall to our lot, there is no reason why the New Year's text should not still be true. We who have believed do enter into rest. The Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. He gives us glory begun below. In heaven they are secure, and so are we preserved in Christ Jesus. There they triumph over their enemies, and we have victories too. Celestial spirits enjoy communion with their Lord, and this is not denied to us. They rest in his love, and we have perfect peace in him. They hymn his praise, and it is our privilege to bless him too. We will this year gather celestial fruits on earthly ground, where faith and hope have made the desert like the garden of the Lord. Man did eat angels' food of old, and why not now? Oh, for grace to feed on Jesus, and so to eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan this year. We come to the end of our devotional today. We trust that it has indeed been a blessing to you, and we trust that this year, 2026, would be a blessed and prosperous year for you and your family. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091, or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.